Well, you bought a lot of those booklets, but let me tell you about a few books. First of all, The Prophecy of Daniel. It's like something you need to understand Revelation. Now, several of you asked me about Revelation. We started yesterday on the radio. We're on 740. I think there's another frequency down here. What is it? Is it 1240? Well, there's three choices. But anyway, we're on KBRT. And by the way, it is the largest station in California, by far. Others not even close. So God is blessing them because they're committed to the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. God bless them, help them never to get away from it. Now, Daniel is out there, the commentary, and it is important to understand in relation to prophecy. Here's a book called Israel Chosen by God. And I gave it to Jewish rabbis in Israel, and they were all amazed. They said, how did you get so much stuff in such a little book? And I said, well, the Lord helps you, but they said, you've got the whole history there. That's true. If you want to know the truth, there it is. Oh, and I just finished this book, Celebrating 70 Years. Boy, I loved going over this book. All the promises of God, and wow, I get excited about that. And the book of Hebrews. I had a pastor call me, he said, to whom was the book of Hebrews written? What? I said, to the Hebrews. He says, well, who are they? I said, they're Jews. I was afraid of that. Well, anyway, I'm not. And this is about my Lord Yeshua. And I love the book of Hebrews. Amen? And I want you to know that I'm currently doing an edit job on a book that I did 30 years ago called The God of the Bible. And we sold out of it in about 10 years. But I've decided, because I read it, it's really good. But anyway, I've done a new edition of it, and I already have 375 pages, and I'm only about halfway done. I'm telling you, people don't know the God of the Bible. That's the problem we have. Very serious problem. All you have to do is listen to Oprah to know how serious. Boy, what's the matter with that woman? She said she came to know the Lord as a child in a good Bible-teaching church, but she's forgotten it, that's for sure. Anyway, we're here to talk about Israel under attack. Wow. You know, I can't stand here. I'll have to... Can you move this? You want it over there?
Wherever you like it.
Well, I don't know. It's your church, not mine. Is this it?
This is it.
Okay, here. Amen?
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Are you up here because you want to preach again?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. We've been friends a long, long time. And you've always been a blessing to me. Yeah. And your family. God bless you. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12, please. By the way, I've just finished a redoing of Zechariah. It's called The Future of Planet Earth. It's going to be published here soon this month. And I'll be looking for it.
Good call, Dr. Craig.
What's that?
He's moving the stool. That was a good call because you could have fallen over it. Good call.
Oh. Well, is there anything else anybody wants to say? Zechariah 12. Zechariah is one of the greatest passages in all the Bible about future events. As a matter of fact, you may not know this, that Jewish rabbinical scholars believe that Jews have one book in the New Testament they can read, and that's Revelation. How interesting. When I wrote my first book on Revelation, on my own, without all the computer stuff we have today, I found 400 quotations from the Old Testament. A recent study in Jerusalem at Hebrew University by computers listed 721 quotes from the Old Testament. That's why they allowed Jewish people to read it. And it's kind of interesting because most of the quotations are from Daniel and Zechariah. Zechariah, the last three chapters, are very much about prophecy. I'm reading chapter 12, if you have your Bible. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. That's interesting, isn't it? It's identifying particularly who is the subject. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. In other words, you better listen. Behold, I will make Jerusalem, or Jerusalem, a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. I happen to believe that is one of the passages related to Armageddon. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Wow. Unbelievable. Verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Let's pray. Lord, we come with hungry hearts. We want to know the truth about the future and how it relates to the present. I don't know the hearts of people here, but you do, Lord. You know how many people here are truly born again and ready for the rapture to take place. You also know those that are not real sure. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will do what is promised in this passage. It'll be poured out upon these dear, precious folks who are not sure, and that they will turn their hearts over to the Messiah of Israel, the only one who can save us from sin, death, and hell. And it's in his wonderful name that we pray these things, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Israel under attack. Every time I read this passage, especially verse 10, I'm reminded of a meeting I had in the largest Jewish synagogue in America. It's in California. Pretty big. They have 12,000 people attending. They have 10 rabbis. The head rabbi is named Feinstein. And when I got up to preach, I said, do you have a sister or something in the Senate, he stood up and he said, "We don't support her views." This man's very conservative and orthodox. And I told him before I went to preach, I said, "You want me to answer questions afterwards?" He said, "Yes, we do." I said, "Why did you ask me?" He said, "Because I like the way you do it." And I said, "Well, what if somebody asked me about Yeshua as to whether he's the Messiah or not?" He said, "Well, you'll have to tell him." Okay. So I preached my message, and then he opened it for questions, and the very first man stands way back in the auditorium, and he yells out, "What about Yeshua? Is he the Messiah?" I looked at the head rabbi. I didn't want to offend him. And I said, "What do I do now?" He said, "Answer the question." You know, Jewish people like to ask a lot of questions, more so than maybe non-Jewish believers. I don't know. They just got question after question. But we had a wonderful time. 6 hours later, they gave me something to eat. I thought it was very disrespectful. I should have had it 4 hours at least previously. Anyway, I spoke on Zechariah 12. When we came to verse 10, I turned to him again. I said, "Do you want me to teach verse 10? He said, "I'll be very interested to hear your view." After I finished, I said, "What do you think?" "I don't think I want to hear that again." He said, "You're pretty dogmatic about who the Messiah is." Well, frankly, I'm really glad that it's somebody who was here before, so we can really study his life and know what he's like. Well, he said, "That's only if you believe that he's the Messiah." I said, "What if I don't? Isn't it possible that I might come to believe that by reading what he did and what he said?" "Well, what Jews even read?" I said, "Thank you for asking. It was the commander of the Galilean forces when Rome invaded. His name was Flavius Josephus, and he became the greatest historian that gave us all the history we needed in his wonderful work called The Wars and Antiquities of the Jews." And I read the paragraph. I had it already. He said, "Well, he was certainly deluded, wasn't he?" I said, "That depends upon your view. He definitely recognizes Yeshua as a worker of miracles." He said, "What does that prove?" I said, "I'm surprised, Rabbi Feinstein, that you don't know. Those are the credentials of the Messiah." He said, "Go on with your talk. I don't want to hear any more about this." I said, "Well, it'll be almost impossible for me to talk and not mention the Messiah as being Yeshua." He said, "A lot of my rabbi friends told me not to invite you because of this." But we had a good talk afterwards. And come to think about it, it was several years ago, and I've never been asked back. But anyway. Oh, yeah, right. So let me talk turkey with you, so to speak. I have heard very few messages about what I'm going to tell you now. Israel is under attack. And I study these matters very carefully and put them in HFT Connect. So if you want to read what's going on, put your email in. Let's start. Number one, the hostility of Israel's enemies has what? Has increased. I wish it weren't so, but it is. You know, there's only one nation on earth who has always voted for Israel in the UN? Do you know who it is? No, it's not the U.S. It's Micronesia. I don't know what they're doing down there, but I say we all move. Isn't that amazing, that little island place? A member of the UN, they're the only ones that have always voted for Israel. God bless them. But, like Psalm 83 says, they have said about Israel, come, let's cut them off from being a nation forever. Here's Israel's enemies. Hamas controls Gaza. Hezbollah, a puppet of Iran on the border of Lebanon, Israel's northern border. Islamic Jihad, they infiltrate all Muslim countries. And by the way, I didn't put it up there, but the Muslim Brotherhood also is very dangerous. They are very strong here in America. Many people don't know that, but they're the ones that have gotten some Muslim candidates to be elected into our Congress. And if you want to know about them, if you write AIPAC, the Jewish organization, there's a booklet they have of the Muslim Brotherhood within the United States government. You're going to be surprised. There are 54 paid people who are Muslim Brotherhood calling for the destruction of Israel that are in our government. Several of them worked for Hillary Clinton. Watch out. We're going to have another barrage. You wait. They hate Trump. And my prayer for Trump is that he'll learn to clean up his mouth. I appreciate his willingness to take a stand, but I know because of his personality, he will say a lot of things that you're not even sure it's factual and true. Al-Aqsa Martyrs. That's a group that has been forgotten. It was started by Yasser Arafat and his assistant at the time, which was Mahmoud Abbas, the current president of the Palestinian government. Who are these? They are children. Children who are taught in school to kill Jews. They are given fake guns to show them how to do it. It's terrible. Fatah is the organization that Yasser Arafat started and that Mahmoud Abbas is one of the leaders of, though he's the president, and people call him a man of peace. He's not a man of peace. It was my pleasure, if you call it that, at the Olympics in Munich, Germany in 1972, to have firsthand knowledge of the attack upon the Israeli athletes. They killed them all. We have forgotten already as a nation that the leader of that attack was Mahmoud Abbas, the current president of the Palestinian Authority. By the way, if you don't like the truth, you're not going to be comfortable with what you hear today. Al-Qaeda, people say, oh, it's dead. No, it's not. The son My mind went blank. One person, please. Pastor?
Bin Laden's son.
Bin Laden's son is the new president of Al-Qaeda. And they're really concerned about him. You want to know how concerned? Saudi Arabia just canceled his residency and citizenship. Because they know that he is going to do one thing. He's going to organize warriors to hit Israel as often as he can. And then ISIS. Now, there's been rumors that ISIS has been totally defeated. That is not true. They're still active. And by the way, their main target now are Christians who support Israel. They killed 50 of them just last month. We need to be careful because there's so much compromise in churches today that they don't want to take a stand. Be very careful. Next, enemy number one many people who are friends of mine and supporters of Israel say is Islam. I appreciate what they're saying, but remember, I'm a committed person to the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. Therefore, put it up, the real enemy is who?
Satan.
Is Satan, absolutely. And the devil's working overtime and all his demonic forces. And the Bible speaks of it often. Next, the hatred of all nations has intensified. I've been wondering why. Congress is very hypocritical on this issue. I need to tell you that. And there's one group of Christians within America that they're concerned about. You should know it. I willingly identify with them, and that's Messianic Jewish believers. They're very concerned about them. I know some of you also fellowship with Messianic synagogues. God bless you. But be very careful who you talk to, who you tell. They're very subtle, and they're very hypocritical and wicked, and they've infiltrated the Christian church pretty strong. Number three, the horror of attacks against Israeli citizens has not stopped. A year and a half ago, when my wife and I went to Israel, we were in the Garden Tomb, and all of a sudden, while I'm teaching, we heard machine gun fire. Immediately, the security forces of Israel said, just stay here, don't get out right now, as we're trying to stop an attack against some Jewish people. There's a lot of things that happen in Israel that don't get reported. You know that, don't you? Israel remains as quiet as they can. They don't want to stir it up and make it worse. But we need to understand this is going on and it's not stopped. Next, the biblical heartland of Judea and Samaria is threatened. Now that's what they call a West Bank. How many of you read about the West Bank in the Bible? Put your hands down. There is no West Bank in the Bible. None whatsoever. I wish I could have gotten the name of this lady. She was a CNN reporter quite a long time ago. She called my office and she said she wanted to talk to me about the West Bank. And I said, I'm not interested in the West Bank. She said, oh, I thought you were. I said, no. I'm interested in the East Bank. At that point, I realized she thought I was talking about a financial institution, not east of the Jordan River. She finally figured it out, and she said, well, that's so silly. I mean, that's Jordan. I said, I know, but God said he gave it to Israel, and we want them to give it back. The next thing she said was, is there anyone else there that I could talk to? I'm used to it, friends. The heartland, we're one of the few groups that go to Israel that have the courage to go to the biblical heartland like Shiloh, where the tabernacle was for 369 years. The mayor, former mayor of Shiloh, David Rubin, precious friend of ours, he was attacked terribly. His car was shot 49 times. His little baby boy, 3 years old, didn't say anything. He thought maybe he wasn't shot, but he actually was shot through the neck. I'm not here to tell you the long story, but it led him to think about what he should do. This is the biblical heartland of Israel, and they're trying to take it away from us, and they attack us all the time. So, because of what happened to his little boy, he became burdened about the children of those parents who were killed by terrorists. He started a school that's on top of Shiloh. The Shiloh Children's Fund is one of the greatest ministries you could ever support. David Rubin runs it now. And I know you're going to find this hard to believe. There's over 2,000 children now in his school program. He tries to also, when they're able to, through therapeutic training of these children, they've all experienced the death of someone in their family, usually their parents. He said if we had the facilities, we could easily have 4,000 children. That's right in the biblical heartland of Israel. If you think the attacks have stopped, you're mistaken. And many of those who are my friends who live in that area, they wonder why the church people in the United States do not help them more often. Isn't that interesting? These precious children, you'll never forget them. Just last month, we went back again. What a blessing. We watched them teach the Word of God to these children. And the whole thing of that ministry, to see these children, to have life again. It's really a blessing. Next, the hunger for peace is leading to serious compromise. I'm personally concerned about Benjamin Netanyahu, not because of the current attack on him for corruption with Israel's enemies, but because he's been playing games about peace. He was once a firm believer that the peace will come from the Messiah and that dividing the land is not biblical and we should not do it. Now he's talking out of the other side of his mouth. Pray for him. He's a good man, but he's kind of caught with all the stuff that's going on. Next, the harm of replacement thought theology is hurting the nation of Israel. Now, I mentioned it the last time, and a few of you asked me about it, that you didn't know what I was talking about. I understand that. It's very subtle. There are good Bible teachers on the radio, like John Piper, who are replacement theologists. They believe that God's promised covenant with Israel is not everlasting, that he has given it to the church. And it's very popular. Some have regarded in surveys taken that somewhere from 75 to 90% of the churches in America believe replacement theology. So what was once a bastion of support for Israel is now being compromised. And I told Pastor Greg when I come, I said, I'm not going to mince words. I'm telling you, I don't have the time for that, nor do I want to do it. I want to tell the people the truth. Let me show you why. Number one, it ignores the Jewish roots of Christianity. That kind of teaching will never allow anything Jewish in their pulpits or in their ministry, their churches. I have talked to a number of them over the years, and it's getting worse, not better. And I pray that God will put in your heart a new commitment to stand for Israel no matter what. Number two, it believes that the Jewish people were rejected by God for their rejection of Yeshua. That's the main argument. I heard it on the radio the other day, and I was sad to hear this person share it. But I knew already that he was vacillating on this issue, and that's Hank Hanegraaff. Be very careful. This is affecting so many people today. We need to understand it and to deal with it. That isn't all. Number three, it teaches that the church is the new Israel. They do this in Galatians chapter 6, where we are told, well, let's turn there. Let's look at it. Galatians chapter 6. Since so many people are using this in replacement theology, I want you to see it. By the way, a lot of people say to me, well, you just keep referring to the original languages. Yes, I didn't have all those years of study for no reason at all. And the truth is, even in Greek, I had 9 years of Greek in studies, and I taught it for over 13 years, so I'm not a novice. Greek is the biggest language in the history of the world. 32 million words. The average language has 2 million. 32 million words. Isn't it interesting? The New Testament was written in the Greek language of the common people, called Koine Greek. Well, Galatians 6, I'm going to read beginning at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. We say amen. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. They teach that the Israel of God are believers, Gentile believers in our Lord. And they are hammering it on the radio. Watch out. The problem is that the Greek language is not honored here. Is he talking about Gentiles who are Messianic believers? No. It says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and... Now, the next thing you have in your Bible is a preposition, upon the Israel of God. The only Israel of God are Jewish Messianic believers. So the whole case that they use on this is improper interpretation of the original language of that verse. Let's go to number 4. Why is replacement theology hurting Israel? Well, it sees no validity to the modern state of Israel in God's prophetic program. And we're hearing that more and more. And I pray that this facility, meeting in these beautiful facilities, I pray that this church meeting here will always stand for Israel no matter what. Be very careful. Number 5, it rejects all Jewish practices, festivals, laws, and teachings. Now, let me just explain something. In many of our Jewish Messianic congregations, they've stepped over a line, and they are often called Torah observant. This means that they're really trying to make Gentiles Jews. First of all, way over half of the attendants in Jewish Messianic congregations are Gentiles who love the teaching. But the problem is you can cross a line. There are 613 commandments in the Torah, and I don't believe most of them apply to anyone today, Jew or Gentile. And that's a long discussion. But I do have the notes. No. Anyway, I think we need to be careful. We're not trying to make Gentiles Jews. But a Messianic congregation is a delight if it speaks to both Jews and Gentiles and knows what the Word of God actually says. We're not trying to keep 613 commandments. I was in a Jewish Messianic synagogue a few years ago, and I forgot to bring my kippah. And I usually try to honor them by wearing it, and I forgot it. And I was there. Boy, a man, a little Jewish guy, met me at the door. He said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm going to teach here." "You're going to teach without a yarmulke?" I said, "Well, maybe you have an extra one laying around. I'll wear it." "Well, why don't you have it?" I said, "Because I forgot it." "Well, what reason would you have?" "Well, There's no proof that Yeshua and his disciples ever wore one. He looked at me and said, really? He said, well, I don't like mine. It's too small. He ripped it off. I've had a lot of funny things happen. But we're not here trying to make people Jews. And I'm very comfortable with the Messianic movement. Some of them have gotten a little wacko. And I don't like the legalism that is dominating many of them. But the issue is the worship of Yeshua. And when the music stops talking about him and talking more about us, I get uncomfortable. I don't want to stay anymore. And I want to thank you for the wonderful music you've been playing today. Let's move. Number six, it argues that when a Jewish person becomes a Christian, that person is no longer a Jew. And my answer to that is dumb, 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 dumb. How can you be so stupid? The Bible's filled with answers to this. We need to be careful that our attitudes are okay. And I'm not here selling Messianic congregations. I'm here to teach about Israel and why we're having the trouble that we're having today. Next, number seven. It becomes anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish in its attitudes and practices. That almost seems to me to be a paradox. How could that happen? And yet we have articles in our Jewish magazines even this month about it. That sometimes the Messianic congregation becomes anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish. Why? Because the only one they want to accept is one who has believed that Yeshua is the Messiah. I like it and I don't like it. I don't want to get a bad attitude towards Jewish people. I want to be a part of the great enterprise of distributing God's word, which our friends, the Sands, are involved with. I want them to know the Lord. I want them to know his word. And I'm not here to criticize either one of them. But be careful what you say. Next, the hand of the Lord is behind the circumstances which Israel now faces. This morning in my devotions before we came here, I was reading about it. You know, I have to tell you the truth, it troubled me. As I'm reading God's word, I'm getting troubled by what I read. I think we all need to be careful here. Is this really true? Is the Lord behind all that's happening? If a Messianic congregation is teaching the truth, they're teaching their people that. They're teaching their people that Israel is hated by the nations. That we need to understand that. That our Lord predicted persecution. Our Lord said that all of us, if we live long enough and get to the end that God has predicted, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to have to suffer for righteousness' sake. It starts verbally. I've been on planes sitting next to people who I tried to witness to only to discover they hate Jews. One man I was sitting next to, and boy, he was angry. And he saw that I was Jewish and believing in the Messiah. He said, I hate Jews. He's sitting next to me. I said, well, I bet you're going to be really glad that I'm a Christian also. He said, why? Because the only thing I want to do is get an Uzi and blow you off this plane. He then called for the flight attendant and says, would you move me away from this nut? And she looked at him and she said, oh, that's David. I listened to his broadcast. Yeah. He moved. But anyway. Next, the help that Israel desperately needs comes from the Lord alone. Do you believe that? We need to be careful what we say. There are some Christians that want to go and join the Israeli Defense Forces. I understand that. But the help that they need is the Lord. We need to be careful what we say. Next, the healing of the nation will only come by repentance and prayer. Solomon was told that. Boy, he had a great day of dedication. You can read about it in God's Word, 2 Chronicles. Every time I read it, I realize the seriousness of it. He had a great day of celebration. He retired for the night. God woke him up. He said, "Oh, there's one more thing I want to tell you. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." May God help us all to understand that. If there's something that America, so-called believers, need, it's repentance. And hopefully what would follow would be a great revival. And these are difficult days right now. Next, the hope of Israel and the world is the coming of Israel's promised Messiah. Don't get off of that. Don't say it's something else. It isn't something else. That is our hope. It's a return of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. We like to say, especially among Jewish friends, Baruch Hashem, Adonai, Israel. Some of us throw in also the Eternal King, Amalek. And we mention his name, Yeshua HaMashiach. We don't think because we say it we're more spiritual than somebody else, but we love that. It's important to us. Blessed be the name. Baruch, blessed, Hashem, the name. If you get that little booklet, I don't know, do we have that still? About the name above all names? In a yellow booklet? Oh, well, you can get it from our ministry if we're out of them over there. But we need to understand the power of the name of our blessed Lord. I'm not here to suggest anything else to you. I know a lot of people want to have a new walk-a-thon or some other activity to show their allegiance. But I often wonder, do these people know that the only hope is our Messiah? That's it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And these matters we've been dealing with, very sensitive issues. Teach us, Lord, to look at your word and to commit ourselves to believing and practicing and honoring the word of God, which has been magnified above your own name. How we thank you, Lord. I pray you'd bless these people, that those who are not sure would even right now turn to the Messiah before it's too late. Thank you, Lord. And it's in Yeshua's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yay. Thank you, David. Thank you very much for that. Love
You're
it.
You're welcome.